Every year, Human Rights Watch honors a handful of extraordinary and courageous activists, people working on the front lines to defend human rights worldwide. We've recognized 5 brave people this year who continue to put their lives on the line.
Arnold Sanga, Zimbabwe.
For over 25 years, President Robert Mugabe and his government have held on to power in Zimbabwe. Arnold, could you describe what's happening in Zimbabwe now? Why should the world be more concerned?
The reason why the world has to be concerned about Zimbabwe now is because of the impact of the collapse in the system of governance on the ordinary people. It has produced what I would call catastrophic consequences. And I think the easiest way of demonstrating it is to give maybe just a brief statistical position on key factors that tend to show the condition of the nation. Zimbabwe is the country that has the lowest lifespan in the world, with men living up on average to 35 years, whilst the women's life on average has been reduced to 33 years, a collapse from an average lifespan of about 60 years. The unemployment rate is now reached a figure of about 85%. The World Health Organization has also said that we are getting about 4,000 people dying per week in Zimbabwe as a result of exposure to HIV/AIDS, absence of adequate diet and nutrition. So 16,000 people dying every month.
Is President Mugabe directly responsible?
Yes, he is, because it's as a result of a failure in democratic governance. Once he lost this election in 2000, having been in power since 1980, he just decided to unleash systematic and sustained violence on his own people that he believed to be oppositional. And he's visually abused the army to begin to turn it against its own people. He's politicized the police force, and the police force has become an institution of terror. People no longer feel secure and confident in the company of the police. He has undermined the judiciary by making the courts unable to offer any effective remedies.
What's the climate like for human rights defenders and journalists?
The asphyxiation of the space in which human rights defenders work has been a very deliberate and sustained strategy of this government. So the persecution of human rights defenders takes 2 primary forms. The first one is through passage of a range of repressive pieces of legislation. The second method is through administrative practices that allow for the police to selectively apply repressive legislation on human rights defenders and perceived political opponents, as well as politicization of the police force and the judiciary, so that they are then used as instruments of terror. Situations of arbitrary arrests and detention of human rights defenders are so common. So we have a Human Rights Defenders Project in which we have represented in excess of 1,200 human rights defenders per year since 2003. Myself, I've been arrested, been taken through a false prosecution, a false trial. We leave most of the things that we do to fate, just relying on the fact that someone up there could be looking after all of us.
Tell us how you were prosecuted.
How it started is that I agreed to sit on a board of an organization called Voice of the People, which is a trust whose main purpose was to try and offer Zimbabweans an alternative electronic media to be involved in running a broadcasting station that would give Zimbabweans an opportunity to hear themselves and to air their views in terms of how the country is being run. So because we've got very strict broadcasting services laws, they did not grant a license. Meanwhile, we then managed to secure an arrangement with Radio Netherlands. Some of the programs that we had been preparing in anticipation for broadcasting were then taken over by the Netherlands Broadcasting Corporation. So they then beamed broadcasts and people were able to download the radio in Zimbabwe. So as a result, the authorities found a pretext to say that I had violated the Broadcasting Services Act. And we went through a 9-month process, which ultimately resulted in us being acquitted in September last year.
Have there been cases where you felt you were being closely watched?
Yes. On the 22nd of March this year, a letter was leaked from the Central Intelligence Organization, which had been apparently written to the Zimbabwe Intelligence Corps, which is military intelligence, which had a list of 27 people who needed to be executed extrajudicially. And my name was on that list, as well as a number of other human rights defenders, some media practitioners, journalists, and there had been a hit squad that had been set up by the military intelligence to try and eliminate me. There's actually been an escalation in the country since 11 March 2007. We have seen two journalists abducted and their bodies being later discovered dumped after being executed.
Why do you continue this work?
I think there is a time when you pass the threshold of fear and you are in pursuit of a very strong conviction about what is right for humanity. The more you face such adversities, I think the stronger resolve you develop, because I think the feeling and knowledge that what you are doing is worthwhile and nothing can ever stop you from doing it. It really causes, I think, human rights defenders in my situation, as well as colleagues that I work with, to face, you know, the consequences as part of the occupational hazard. It is a big occupational hazard, you know. There is no way that we enter and exit the Zimbabwe airport, you know, in Harare, without the intelligence in following us. Every day we are under consistent surveillance.
Thanks very much for speaking with us, Arnold.
My pleasure.